Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. You know, I'm excited to be here in the presence of the Lord. It's also bittersweet because this is my last Sabbath with you here in Aiken. I'm heading back tomorrow, heading back home to Michigan, where I'm going to be taking a bit of time to rest and to reflect and also to visit with family. So, with that being said, I want to share with you a quick testimony. Yesterday, me and Claudette, we were actually going out and visiting some people. And there was this one unique lady that we had gone up to visit. Her name was Ruby. And I had visited Ruby several times. And she's an elderly lady in about her late 60s, early 70s. And when she saw me, you could see the excitement on her face. And she's like, oh, I have something for you. I have something for you. And she runs upstairs with enthusiasm. And as she runs upstairs, she comes back down and she has a finished Bible study guide in her hand. A finished one. And in that excitement, she's like, can you give me two Bible study guides? Me and my son are now going over these. Amen. 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 My friends, there are people that are searching, people that are ready. Today, before I get into my sermon, I first want to also thank the Aiken Seventh-day Adventist community here for being so welcoming. I know when I first came here, it was a little different, always a new guy in the block from the north. You know, you never know what to expect, but I'm still grateful. And I remember coming here, just a quick interesting story. I remember coming here, and I remember driving by a field, and I see this white fur ball growing out in the field. I'm like, what is that? What is that? I've never seen that before. I don't think white fur balls grow on plants. So, you know, me being with my curiosity, I pull over, I park, and I get out. I'm like, what's that? And you can see my excitement in my face. And I start tiptoeing up to it, and I'm like, is that cotton? And I'm like, poke. And I'm like, that's cotton. I've never seen cotton before. And you guys are like, we've all seen cotton before. That's nothing new down here in the South. But for me coming from the North, I've never seen it. We do not grow cotton up in the North. So that was very, very interesting. Not only that, through my time here, I've noticed different things about the South. Some of those such things are the roads are built differently down here. In Michigan, all the roads during when it rains all seem to drain quite well. Down here and down South, everything seems to puddle. And no matter what you do, you got to be careful because you're going to hydroplane a lot. Then I noticed myself as I spent more time here, I noticed that I started picking up certain language, certain words, like y'all and reckon and doing. You know, instead of using my regular vernacular that I'm used to back up north, so I was like, Lord, what are you doing to me here? What are you doing to me? It's been a blessing to be here with you all, and I can't wait to see what the Lord has in store. Today we're going to answer a single question. The title of my sermon is called No Turning Back. No Turning Back. And this question is what we're going to answer, and I think it's very appropriate for this weekend. Can a saved man choose to be lost? Can a saved man choose to be lost? And before we do that, let's go ahead and say a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I'm not indispensable. Lord, I do not have the words on what to say. But Lord, you do. Lord, you are our King. You are the author. You are the finisher of our faith. And Father in heaven, Lord, we want to serve you, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. Father in heaven, Lord, be with my words today. Lord, help me speak through me. Give me your spirit. Let it not be my words. And Lord, we thank you so much. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, can a saved man choose to be lost? And let's see if I can get this to work here. I want to show you an interesting article. This was actually shown on USA Today. And it was a very interesting article. And the article was titled, and I don't have the article title up there, but the article was titled, Atheist Megachurches Look for Non-Believers. Okay? Atheist megachurches look for non-believers. And this was an article that USA Today said. They said, dozens of gatherings dubbed atheist megachurch by supporters, that's supposed to be supporters, and detractors are springing up around the U.S. after finding success in Great Britain earlier this year. On Sunday, the inaugural Sunday assembly in Los Angeles attracted more than 400 attendees, all bound by their belief in non-belief. Non-belief. Similar gatherings in San Diego, Nashville, New York, and other U.S. cities have drawn hundreds of atheists seeking the camaraderie of a congregation without religion or ritual. Now, my friends, looking at these people, you know, I don't know their life choices. I don't know what they've been through. So it's not my place to judge them. It's not any of our places to judge them. So their decision, I do not blame them on that. But, you know, they must have heard, they must have been in a point in their lives where they encountered the Word of God. Now, how was that seed sown? That seed could have been sown on the wayside, on the rocky soil. It could have been sown in a number of different ways. But it led them to their eventual choice that they would choose to believe nothing. Nothing. They got to that choice. I want to look at a little bit of a story here in the Bible. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to John, regular John, chapter 10. And we're going to be looking at verse 27 through 29. 27 through 29. And when you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not there, say, oh me.
Oh me.
Oh, oh me. All right. All right. I still hear some pages turning. All right. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and read this. In John 10, verses 27 through 29, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Who's speaking here? Jesus is speaking here, and it's interesting, and how he's talking with these words, and he's saying the sheep that hear his voice, the people that hear his voice, he knows them, and they follow him as a result. And what is that reward? Eternal life. That is the reward, and we see that in verse 28. It says, and I give unto them eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither any man shall pluck them out of my hand. You know, there's a common ideology that is going around today. Once I'm saved, I am always saved. I'm safe. I no longer have to make any more choices. I can rely on my first choice. Is that necessarily true, friends? No. A saved man can choose to be lost in a lot of different ways. But it's interesting. A lot of people use this argument. And a lot of people can choose to be lost. Now, I want to point out something very, very important here. So, this Bible verse that we just looked at is a Bible promise. And for every promise of God, there is a condition. Say that with me. For every promise of God, there is a what?
Condition.
Condition. There is a condition to the promise. So here, in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, we have a condition. In verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they what? Follow me. So the condition for eternal life is they must choose to what? Follow him. They must choose to follow Christ. But is this a decision that is forced? No, it is not a decision that is forced. It is not a decision at all. Lord does not force anything on us. But in fact, the Lord says, you know, my son, my daughter, I love you. I love you. We see that the reward of a promise or of the promise is given to those who keep the condition. Who keep the condition. In a saved man, or can I say when a saved man chooses to be lost, we look at the Christian walk and we often ask ourselves, how did that person choose to be lost? How did that person, you know, fall off the wayside? What did they do? Oftentimes it can be as little as not spending time in God's Word, not spending any time praying, not being interested, a lot of different things. But let me ask you this question. Is the walk a one-moment experience or a one-moment act? No, it's not, right? No, when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, it says that you are a new creature, or you are starting a beginning journey, or you are a new babe. So when you accept Christ into your heart, it's only the beginning of the path. It is only the beginning. It is a day-by-day experience that we need to walk with Jesus Christ, day by day. Luke 9, verse 62, and it says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." My friends, there is many people that have started at the beginning of that journey, that have started walking, they accepted Jesus Christ into their life, they were faithful, but then what happened? They started turning back. They started looking back. Do you remember the story of Jesus walking on the water and Peter coming out to him? What did Peter do? He took his eyes off Jesus. And it was only for a split second. And then what happened? He started to sink. So many of us, you know, in our Christian walk, we might get to a point where we're like, it's too hard. I don't know if I can do this. So sometimes it's easier to let go than to fight for it. But my friends, I'll tell you this from personal experience, that journey is absolutely worth it. Absolutely worth it. Absolutely. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So friends, let us not look back. Let us not look back. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And forgive me, I know this is a bit small up there. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be weary and faint in your minds." So my friends, here we see the context. Here we see that salvation, or that choice to accept God, is a what? Is a race. Now, normally when we have a race, we have a beginning, when you start running, and we have a end. We have a finish line. So here we see that Jesus is or the word of the Lord is describing the walk as a beginning point and a starting point. It is a race. It is absolutely a race. Not only that, we see in verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. My friends, is it easy to endure the cross? Is it easy to get up every morning and say, all right, I'm going to spend time in my Bible. I'm going to go out and do door knocking. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Is that easy? It's not easy because it takes every fiber of our being sometimes. But I'm grateful that we don't have to rely on our strength for that. And in verse 3 there, it says, for consider him that endured such contradiction. Or basically, when we look at that word contradiction, basically means hostility or malice of sinners against himself. Let us be wearied and faint in your minds, or so that you grow not weary or lose heart. So that's basically what that means. So God is calling us not in this journey, which we call a race, in this journey of salvation, we are not to grow weary. We are not to lose heart, my friends. Don't lose heart. Do not turn back. Matthew 24:13, and I do not have this up there on the slides, but Matthew 24:13, it says, but he shall endure unto the end. The same shall be saved. Basically, we see in Matthew 24:13, he that endures to the end, they shall be saved. So we see that in this race, we must have endurance. You know, often, let me ask this question. How many of you have run a race? How many of you have done 5K? Okay, a couple of you. 10K? Anybody 10K? Yes? Okay. All right. So if you know when you start out on that race, it is, you know, it starts out easy, right? And you know, you're not burning as much, but towards the middle, you start getting weary. And then towards the end, everything is aching. Everything is aching. But you see the finish line. So what do? You endure. You endure. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation 3, verse 11. Revelation 3, verse 11. Revelation 3, verse 11. And when you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Revelation 3, verse 11. And the Bible says, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So we see that Jesus is saying, my son, my daughter, hold fast. Hold fast to your faith. Hold fast to the beginning of that excitement. Hold fast to that journey. Hold fast. Let no man take your crown. Also turn to John 6. Let's go to John 6, 66 through 68. John 6. And this is a very interesting story. I did not stumble upon this story until recently, and I don't know why I didn't see it. John 6, 66 through 68. And when you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. And the Bible says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, it's interesting. This was the period when the disciples were turning away from the Lord. And as they're turning away, I can only imagine the grief in his heart. I can only imagine what Jesus was going through as he watched those other disciples go away. And he turns to the 12 and he says, "Will you also leave me? Will you also turn your back and go that way?" And I love Peter's response. I love it because that should be our response, right? And it says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Wow. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. When I first started on my journey, I'll tell you what, friends, and I'll be honest with you. I was sitting in those pews. I was sitting in those seats where you're at. But I was not spending any time in the Word of God. Not spending any time or being interested in the Bible. I liked going to church, just like those atheist people. I liked going to church because it was camaraderie. It was friendship. You know, I went there because they had good food. Is that a good reason to go? That's not the best reason to go, friends. Not the best reason to go. Can God work something out even when you still go to church? Yes. But so many people in Christian churches and multiple Christian denominations today have that atheist type experience. And they are quick to leave those doors when something happens. Or they ask, "Where was God? Where was God?" They go through something and they're out the back door. My life, I'm grateful because the Lord put godly people into my life. The Lord put people in my path that said, "You know, James, have you ever looked at the Bible? James, have you ever done this? James, you should consider going here. You should consider going there." People that did not stop praying for me. And my friends, I come from a broken family. My mom and my dad are divorced. They were not good examples of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to live in a godly home. They were not good examples of that. But I'm grateful because when I was growing up, I had a certain man. He would come and pick up my brother and I every single Saturday for church, nonstop, regardless of my parents, and they had left. So I'm grateful for people, and I'm grateful for what the Lord did in my life. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. Let's go ahead and turn there. Hebrews chapter 6. When you're there, say amen. 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 Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. And the Bible says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they," what? "Crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him in an open shame." My friends, when we turn back, when we say, when we throw in the towel, when we give up, you know, we crucify God anew. In fact, when we choose to break God's law, we crucify God anew. We crucify His Son, Jesus. We crucify Him. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. And the Bible says, "Now the just shall live by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." My friends, don't let this journey, don't let this race discourage you. You know, we are not alone in this. It is the power of Christ working in us. When we behold the cross, when we allow Jesus Christ to actually come into our hearts, and I'm talking about seriously, friends, you know, to allow Him to work in our life, we will be saved. We will have that saving relationship. That saving relationship. Salvation is a race. It has that beginning and end. And an end. We need to move onward and forward. You know, many of you might be thinking, you know, James, how do I move onward and forward? How do I stop from turning back, for heading out those doors? And my friends, you know, all it takes is spending a little time with Jesus. All it takes with is just saying, Lord, I know I'm not worthy. Lord, I know I'm not worth it. But Lord, I have a desire to serve You. Lord, I have a desire. I don't have the motivation, but I have that desire. Lord, will You give me the strength to go on, to move forward and onward? Will You give me that strength? Jesus, my friends, Jesus is calling each of us. Maybe He's calling you today. You know, going from here tomorrow is not guaranteed. You know, I might never see you again from here. You know, I don't know if our paths will cross again. But I can't imagine being in heaven without seeing each of you. Brother Butler, will you be in heaven, my friend? Amen. 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 Sister Becky, how about you? Will you be in heaven? Amen. Brother Nick, how about you? Will you be there? Amen. Amen. Brother Nathan, how about you? Will you be there? Amen. Amen. My friends, I want to see each of you there. I can't imagine going to heaven and not seeing the Allen family. I cannot imagine going there without seeing each of their faces and for seeing each of your faces. This is a race, and this race isn't easy. It sometimes is a struggle, and it sometimes is a battle, but it is a race that we run. So when we see that finish line, we're like, Lord, I want to finish. I want to finish. I don't want to turn back. And I want to see each of you in the kingdom of heaven. And I know it'll break God's heart. No matter if one person turns away, if your family member or your friend chooses to turn away, don't you turn away. Don't turn away. Keep that course. Keep that faith. Keep running that race. Is that your desire today, to keep running that race? Amen. Let's go ahead and say a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I know I've talked about much today, and each of us are at a different path. Lord, I cannot imagine going to heaven and not seeing the faces of these individuals that I have gotten to know over the last 5.5 months. Lord, I cannot imagine that. And Father in heaven, Lord, I ask that You lead each of them, that You guide each of them, that You will give them the strength and the power through Jesus Christ, Your only Son, that they will be able to finish that race. So Lord, we're not relying on our own strength, but Lord, we're relying on Your strength. And Father in heaven, Lord, let us meet together as a congregation, together in that one fold in heaven. Lord, I know that is my desire, and I know that is the desire of many here. Lord, You see their hands. Lord, You know their hearts. Lord, let us finish that race, to finish our course. And we thank You so much. In the name of Jesus, amen.